This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody put those hands together and bless Jesus. Amen. Somebody said he's all right. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad. And how many people are glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time? Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm just glad to be here. Amen, amen. Somebody said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Amen, hallelujah. Let's just pray and let's seek God about our word today. Father, we thank you and we give you praise, God, for allowing us to come, God. We thank you, God, for your word. You said to your servant David, I will make his word a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathways, that I might hide his words in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And we thank you, God, for the miracle of your word today. In Jesus' name, let us all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give our praise team a great big hand today. Amen. Amen. Woo. Somebody just say, woo. He's all right. I don't know about y'all. I feel like having some church today. Amen. Our scripture is found in Philippians, the first chapter, and our scripture was already read by our brother so wonderfully. Thank you so much. We want to focus in on the 11th verse of the first chapter of Philippians. Philippians, the first chapter and the 11th verse. It says, I want to read out of the Revised Standard Version. It says, filled with the fruits of righteousness which come through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I want to read that one more time. It says, filled with the fruits of righteousness which come through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This morning we want to talk about on the subject of let your life give thanks. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
amen.
Let your life give thanks.
Amen.
Let your life give thanks. You know, we are headed right into the Thanksgiving holiday on Thursday, and we thank God for all that he's done for us. I don't know about you, but God has been good to me. I don't care what state you're in, you know, what condition your life you think, how bad off it is. You have to, when you really think about it, God has been good to you. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Amen. But it seems like the only time that we want to really thank God for anything is that when someone designates a holiday for it. Well, it's Thanksgiving. We ought to sit around like the pilgrims, eat some turkey, and say thank you. God deserves more thanks than just that. God deserves thanks every time that you wake up in the morning. The songwriter says that every day is a day of thanksgiving. Take the time to glorify the Lord today. I don't have to wait for some designated day when somebody landed on Plymouth Rock to thank God. I thank God because of the fact that it's November the 19th, 2006, and the Lord woke me up this morning, started me on my way, put running in my feet, put clapping in my hands, gave me the ability to think, ration, and understand, gave me the ability to see and the articulation of my speech and the activity of my limbs. I thank God because he is a good and mighty and great God. Can somebody say God is good?
God is good.
All the time. And all the time, God is good. Giving thanks. You know, during the last couple weeks, we have received over about 150 calls and say, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? We want to come down and help. I said, well, we're closed on Thanksgiving because we let all the holiday Christians take care of that day. But we serve people all year long. We serve Jesus all year long. We help people all year long. And if you want a day to come down, you need to pick another day other than Thanksgiving, because on Thanksgiving, we are closed. Because of the fact everybody else, all the holiday people take care of that day, and I take care of the rest of the year. Because of the fact that God has been good to me all year long, and I don't just need one day to serve him. You ought to serve Jesus all the time, all the time. Well, I was up this morning and there was a song that came to my heart. I'm not going to sing it because we already had our experience about me singing. But it's written by a Charlotte Elliott. And the hymn is Take My Life and Let It Be. The chorus to that song says, praise you, praise you, let my life praise you. Praise you, praise you, let my life, O Lord, praise you. Praise you, let my life, O Lord, praise you. And what the words of this song are really saying is that a lot of times we give God lip service. But are we praising God? Are we thanking God, offering God a life of thanksgiving? Meaning that are you living your life to agree where you appreciate God for what he's done? You know, my wife often tells me, I say, honey, I thank you for dinner. You know, she's like, show me that you appreciate me. You know, just don't tell me. Show me something. Give me an example that you really appreciate. Can you appreciate it by taking out the trash when I'm done cooking the meal? Can you do something to appreciate and show me that you really are thankful about what I've done for you? And this is what God is asking us this morning as we progress through our text. Are we living a life of thanksgiving? Not just thanking God with our lips, saying, giving God some lip service or some profession that we are thankful, but are we living a life that is thankful unto God? Are we living a life that's pure and holy before him, where we are showing him that we appreciate what God has done? Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Our text begins in the first verse of the first chapter of Philippians, and it begins, says, Paul and Timothy, as the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Jesus Christ which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul's address to the Philippian church. And one thing that we notice that when he addresses the Philippian church, he addresses the Philippian church differently than he does some of the other churches. If you ever notice, if you read the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he begins by saying, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. And the reason why is because the relationship with the Corinthian church was different than the relationship that he had with the Philippian, the church at Philippi. The church at Philippi, he had a fond heart for, but also they were like family. And when we come into this place, we're like family. I know some other places I got to go. I got to lay some stuff down, let them know who I am before they actually respect me. But when I come here, I can just lay all that stuff off and just be Brian. And that's who I am. I'm just Brian. I just come to be partakers in the work of Christ with you, not to be an overseer over you, but to allow God to use me to equip you for the work of the kingdom building work of Jesus Christ. And this was his relationship with the people of Philippi. There's three instances in particular that Paul was saying that I appreciate you. First of all, there was a woman named Lystra who was of the city of Thyatira, but she also lived in Philippi. And the Bible lets us know, as you read through the book of Acts, that her house later became a church, but it was Lystra who opened up her doors to Paul and his evangelistic team when they first began their evangelistic work. You remember the story about when Paul and Silas was locked in jail, and you know all the preachers like said, and around midnight, they began to sing and sing hymns and songs and praise unto the Lord, and the door cells flew open, and the Bible says that they were about to go out and they stayed there, and the Philippian jailer says, I'm about to kill myself. And Paul and Silas says, wait, we are all here. And the man cried out, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas went back to their house, and he was saved, and so was his household. And the man wiped their wounds, and he washed them, and also fed them, and made sure they were taken care of. You have to understand that Paul had a special relationship with the church of Philippi. It was the church of Philippi, while he was at Macedonia, supported him financially so that he could carry out the work of Christ all throughout his missionary journey. So Philippi had a special place in the heart of Paul. He loved the church of Philippi, and that's why he addressed them in this way. He says, Paul and Timothy is the servants of Jesus Christ. Now this word here actually means a little bit more than just servant. There's this particular difference between a hired servant and a bond servant. The word here, the Greek word here, means bond servant or slave of Jesus Christ. And what Paul is saying is that I'm not here for this for me. I'm not here because of any reason. I'm here to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And I want just to drop a note here. When we live a life of Christ, if we're going to live a life of thanksgiving before Him, we have to get ourselves in a position that we're not doing this for any gain. We're not doing this because of the benefits that are offered by the church. We ought to come with a heart of thanksgiving where we're willing to serve Him no matter what. We ought to give God everything that we got, and that we are a slave, that God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to be a slave for you. I know a lot of people think that, you know, when it comes to being slaves, well, I ain't nobody's slave. Ain't nobody my master. I want to let you know that Jesus woke you up this morning, and if all He asks is that you serve Him with thanksgiving, He started you on your way. All He asks is that you live right before Him. If He blessed you with life, and all He asks is that you follow His word and share His gospel to the world, I want to be a slave for Him because He's been so good to me. And that's what Paul was saying, that I, Paul, and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. As you read from verse 3 all the way down through verse 8, it's just really just talking about his relationship, how he feels about them. We get into our text really at verse 9. It says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Verse 9, I want to read that again. It says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and judgment." Well, how does love abound in knowledge? How does love abound in knowledge? When we talk about knowing or letting your love abound in knowledge, meaning you have to know how you ought to love one another. And how does this knowledge come about? It's by reading God's word. God is love. And the scripture says in 1 John, it says that he that loveth not knoweth not God, because God is love. You have to understand that if you have accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, what has happened is that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, has come inside of you and has indwelled inside of you. So if the Holy Spirit is inside of you, that means the love of God is inside of you. And it's impossible to be a Christian and not love people. You can't say that you love God. Matter of fact, the Bible says that you are a low-down, stinking liar if you say you love God, whom you never seen, and hate your neighbor that you see every day. He says you are a liar and there is no truth in you. Now, love goes far beyond what you and I think about love is. A lot of times we look at love and we talk about the Philadelphia style of love. The Philadelphia style of love says that I love you as long as you treat me right. I love you as long as you do right by me. But as soon as you step on my foot, all bets are off. I'm taking you out. That's not the kind of love that Christ says. The kind of love that Christ is commanding us to do is to love him, just love your neighbor just like he loved you. He says, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet disobedient, while we were yet living reckless lives, while we were yet fornicating, while we were yet committing acts of adultery, while we were yet smoking this, as we were yet drinking this, as we were lying, as we were cheating, as we were backbiting, as we were stealing, as we were gossiping, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You have to understand that Christ did it all for you. And that same love, that same mercy that he has extended toward us, we ought to take that same love and instill inside of our lives, and take that love and pass it on to our neighbor, even if they don't like you, even if they did everything against you, even if they hate you. You ought to love them because Christ loved you first. You got to love somebody. Tell them that you love them. Because Christ loved you first, so that you might abound yet more in love and knowledge, knowing what God's love is about, reading his word and understanding that the love of God goes far beyond what the love of man can. Paul said in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And though I have gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have not love, it profit me nothing. Further in that chapter, it says, love beareth all things. It hopeth all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. But as far as prophecies, they shall fail. As far as tongues, they shall cease. As far as knowledge, it shall vanish away. He says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I reasoned as a child. But now I became a man. I put away childish things. He says, abide these three: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these are love. I don't care how many gifts you think you have. I don't care if you speak in tongues. If you can't speak in tongues, you speak in tongues and can't speak to people, it doesn't mean anything. If you prophesy and you can't proclaim God's love to somebody else, it doesn't mean anything, because of the fact that the greatest gift, the evidence that the Spirit of God is in your life, is that you have love in your heart. You got to have love. Well, how also shall we abound in love? It says, I pray that your love may abound yet more in knowledge, that you understand what God's love is, but also in your judgment. The decisions that you make, are you making them in love? The decisions, the choices that you make, are you making them with the idea that the love of Christ is the first and foremost a thing that you're directing this decision towards, the love of God? Let me come closer. The way you treat your neighbor on the street, is it an example of what Christ's love is? The way that you show love to somebody else, are you showing God's love in this way? Are you making the right choices? You know, a lot of times I will sit and I will think, am I glorifying God in the decision that I'm making right now? And if I can't answer that in a positive way, I revert that decision and try to find a decision that fits inside of God's word in the right. You have to live a life that is making judgments and making decisions in right standing with Christ. Now, through this love that we have, we go to verse 10. Through this love, you will make excellent choices. It's impossible for you to have a close walking relationship with Jesus Christ and not have a will and desire to make excellent choices. Verse 10, it says, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Excellent. You know, we have now 30 churches that are part of this program that come down and serve people 5 times a week. And we thank God for what we do here. But one of the things that I always tell them, that in everything that you do, make sure you do it excellent. Second standard is not good enough. We cannot have no lackadaisical service. We can't have people showing up late. We can't have people just doing whatever they want to do. We can't have a sloppy meal. We have to do things excellent. That's the only way that if you are a Christian, you have to do things in your life excellent. Because the love of God in your life stimulates you to do things excellent. How many people have jobs here? You have a job. You have a job. Praise God for you guys that have jobs. The rest of you need to go get jobs. But on your job, you ought to do things excellent because of the love of Christ. But what did that come from? What did that have to do with this? It has a lot to do with it. What it is saying is that the scripture says, in all that you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And so that means everything that you do in life, do it excellent. Because God's love is in you, and the love that you have for not only God, but also for your fellow man, whether you like your boss or not, you ought to show the love of Christ by doing things in an excellent way. Making the choices, making the decisions, doing the actions, living your life in a way that is full of excellence. Do everything excellent. When you walk, walk with excellence. Don't walk with your head down, talking about, oh, sad day. Walk up with your head up, say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Don't let your language be language that is outside of God's will. But he says, in all your conversation, let your conversation be that is pleasing in the sight of God. Say something positive every moment of the day. I don't care if the rain is falling, hail is coming down, snow is blowing in your face. You ought to say, thank God for the precipitation in my life, because of the fact that if it rains sometimes in my life, when the sun shines, the flowers in my life can grow. You have to understand that everything that's in your life, you can always find some good in it. Especially if you are living a life that is after the love and will of God. Let's continue on in this 10th verse. It says that you might be sincere. Sincere. Just sincere. And without offense till the day of Christ. That you might be sincere without offense to the day of Christ. This word sincere is very powerful. Sincere. Somebody say sincere.
Sincere.
Now sincere comes from a Latin word. Sine sera. Sine sera. Everybody say that. Sine sera. Sine sera. Now you feel like you elevated yourself in languages. Now you know Latin. Sine sera. Sine sera means without wax. Without wax. Well, where does this come from? There's often times that when a potter would make a pot, and if you look, and he would make the pot, if you look on the bottom of the pot, and they still use the symbol today, at the bottom of the pot, it'll say sine sera. And what that says is that the pottery that was made is whole and complete. There was no cracks in it. They didn't take any wax and put it in to fill the crack. Because when a pot was made and there was a crack in it, but the pot looked all right, they would take wax and put wax in the crack, fill the crack, and then they would paint over the pot. And it was okay, but they wouldn't put that marking on there. But if the pot was whole without cracks, they would put on there sine sera. You're going to get this in a second. See, in your life, what Paul is saying here is that we ought to live a life of righteousness or a life of thanksgiving that is without wax. What God is commanding us here is that our lives would be living a life of perfection. Wow. Somehow, I know how to be perfect in this thing. Yes, God has an expectancy for you to be perfect. Now, there's two perfections that he offers us. First of all, that through his shed blood on Calvary, he has offered us a life of perfection and righteousness because he has given that to us. But the second thing also, he has an expectancy for us to live holy and righteous in our ways. You choose not to live right. Once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you make a choice. Sin is presented before you and you say, well, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. You either choose righteousness or you choose sin. You make choices. Some people talk about, well, I made a mistake. No, you didn't make a mistake. You made a bad choice. You chose. Once you have accepted Jesus Christ in your life, what has happened is that your life has been regenerated and you have been made alive and you have been restored into the state that Adam was in. And if you have been restored to the state that Adam is in, now you have a choice to live righteous or to live holy. And you make bad choices. You know, I was talking to somebody one time and they said, well, you know, I slipped up and got pregnant. Well, no, I'm sorry. It's a little different. It's a little challenge for me to understand. How did you accidentally have sex? I made a bad choice and I've been smoking cigarettes. No, how you accidentally smoke a cigarette? How do you accidentally lie? No, you chose to do that and you stepped outside of God's will and his way. But Paul is saying here that we ought to live a life that is sincere or sincere without wax, without pollution in our life, without sin, and live a life that is holy and right before God. God requires this of you. It's not a choice for you to live wrong. God expects you to live right. And he said, yes, if you sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you confess your sins. But I have to understand that this word if is not a condition for you to go out and do whatever you want to do. Paul said, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? The answer is no. We have to live a life that is holy and righteous before God. How can you show God that you're thankful? By living a life that is right before him. Let's turn to Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 22nd verse. Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 26th verse. As you read verse 16 through 21, it talks about all the stuff that we should not be doing. We should walk in the Spirit, but not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We should make sure we stay away from adultery, from fornication, from homosexuality, from lying, from cheating, from backbiting, and all those things that are listed from verse 16 to verse 21. But in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You have to understand that you have to take away the things that are outside of God's will and live a life that is sincere or sincere, filled with the fruits of righteousness. Verse 11 in our text, and I want to read it from the Revised Standard Version. It says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, unto the glory and praise of God. What is this saying? It's saying that in our life, we have to make sure that we offer a life that is thanksgiving to God for what he has done. We ought to thank him and praise him, not with just our lips, but we ought to thank him with our lifestyle and a way of holiness that is presented before him. Just because you have a life that is difficult or things ain't going your way is not an excuse for you to live unholy. Holiness is free. All you got to do is live it. All you got to do is do it. You know, I was away and I went to a Christian bookstore. And inside the Christian bookstore, they were selling bootleg Christian CDs. And I went in there and I said, I'm sorry, I can't buy this. I can't buy this because of the fact that I'm stealing. If I take this away from you, I'm stealing from the artist that created this. Not only that, I'm stealing from a person that loves God. So no, I can't do this. And a lot of times their excuse was, well, we can't get the good stuff because of the fact we're over here. The reality is that there's no excuse for you to live unholy. You have to live a life that is sincere and holy before him. And that is our thanksgiving to God. So as we celebrate the holiday that has been established by man, don't let it be a one-day experience for you. Thank God, yes, praise him with your lips. But more importantly, let your life be a life of thanksgiving. Give thanks with your life. Praise you. This is the words of the song, praise you. Let my life, O Lord, praise you. Let your life give thanks. Put your hands together and praise God for his word today.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.